So thank you all for coming back to the next Rav Cook Shiur. So in the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing two different themes in the Torah of Rav Cook. One was the idea which we saw in the Tachmid and Chassidus of Melok Aretz Kavado, pantheism, seeing Hashem everywhere and everything. And last week we saw the notion of Tzipio the Yeshua, how according to Rav Cook, as history progresses, things are constantly getting better, and things are constantly accelerating and going in a single direction towards the Geula. And this week, I just want to see how these two things, these two ideas collide for Rav Cook. This idea of Melokh Aretz Kavodo, seeing Hashem everywhere and in everything, collides with the particular historical time period that Rav Cook saw himself in, and he saw that the time period he saw himself in required a shift in our understanding of the relationship between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the world, at least in terms of emphasis. And we'll see the ideas that Rav Cook is speaking about and how they lend themselves towards the founding of Bnei Akiva, as I understand it. I never had anything to do with Bnei Akiva before the summer, but I think we'll see some of the themes of Torah Avodah coming out in these pieces. So the theme we want to talk about tonight is Teva, nature. In previous Jewish literature, before Rav Cook, Teva is not necessarily something which is to be extolled. If you read Sifrei Maaser, the nature of a person, Yitzer Lev Adam Ra Minu Rav, people are inherently bad, or at least the Pasuk says that the Yitzer of a person is bad, and therefore the purpose of Maaser is to break the Teva of a person. Your Teva is going to lead you towards Taivos, it's going to lead you in negative directions. You require constant checking, constant Sifrei Maaser to break those Taivos, break your natural Teva, and recreate yourself as an Adam Kadosh. We'll see that for Rav Cook, he's very into reading Sifrei Maaser, he's very into reading everything that was previously written in terms of Sifrei Maaser of Yiras Hashem, but he thought that a shift in emphasis was required. And he consciously saw this as a shift in emphasis. So let's just see this first piece to get our bearings. So Rav Cook says as follows, Orot HaTzchiyah, Parakafkas, is about the revival of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. He says, HaKadusha Shebeteva, Hi Kadusha Eretz Yisrael. What is, if I had to describe or define the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, it is the Kedusha of nature, natural Kedusha. Vashchina sheyarda begalos im Yisrael, and the Shechina that accompanied the Jews in the Galos, its ability to retain holiness in contrast, in opposition to nature. And we'll see what that means in a second. Avo Kedusha halochemes negar HaTeva, eino Kedusha lima, but Kedusha that's constantly fighting against the natural world is not complete. This Kedusha, which stands in opposition to nature, always has to, in the end of the day, be swallowed up in this higher level of Kedusha, Shia Kedusha Shabbateva Atma, which is the Kedusha inherent in nature itself. Shehu Yisod HaTikun Olam Kulo Bisuma HaGamor, and this is the foundation of the ultimate fixing of the entire world. Vakodesh Shebegola Yuchobar Al Kodesh Haaretz, and the Kedusha of Chutz La'aretz that Jews acquired in Galus will be connected to the Kedusha of Haaretz. Vasidin Batikanisio Sabati Midraso Shebevavel Shikavu Eretz Yisrael. Rav Cook quotes in Gemara Megillah, then when Mashiach comes, all of the shuls of Bati Midrash and Chutz La'aretz are going to be reestablished in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So let's just take a step back for a second. Eretz Yisrael is described in Tanakh, is described particularly in Chumash, is described in two different ways. We have this spiritual description. It's the land Asher Ine Hashem Alakaka Ba Mereshus Hashana Barakar Shana. It's the land which has special Ashkaka Pratis. I hope I quoted the pasuk correctly.
Well, you did. I was very excited because everyone always puts it wrong.
Okay, thank you. I saw David Lakav. I assume they said something incorrect.
I
thanks. But the major description of Eretz Yisrael in Chumash is just as a beautiful land. Eretz Avas Kolav Devash. Eretz Asher Lo Chasara Kol Ba. It's a land which has everything from a natural perspective. It's a land which is naturally beautiful. It's a land which is flowing milk and honey. Yeah,
what's the first one
again? Eretz Asher, the land which has Hashem's eyes on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So in the context of the pasuk, it's talking about rain, that Hashem pays attention to the land, it requires rain. But it sounds like the special Hashkaka practice that exists in Eretz Yisrael, a certain element of Kedusha. But the major description of Eretz Yisrael in Chumash is just a beautiful land, natural beauty. And for Rav Cook, this doesn't just mean that the land is naturally beautiful. It means that you could find kedusha, find holiness in the land itself, in the natural land, in and of itself. You don't have to run away to seclude yourself in a shul. You don't have to seclude yourself in a base medrash to find kedusha. The land itself, the physical land itself, is suffused with kedusha. In Chutz La'aretz, Rav Kook says, that at least in the time period when Jews are in Chutz La'aretz, in Galus, that's not the case. In the time period of Jews are in Chutz La'aretz, in the time period of Galus, what we need to do is seclude ourselves in the Bati Medrash, seclude ourselves in the shul. We have to create bastions of Kedusha, because the outside world, the natural world, is considered either a neutral or a negative. Rav Kook says we have to go through the long Galus basically as a training ground. It was the first time around when we were in Eretz Israel, it didn't work out so well. We had to go into Galus. We require 2,000 years of just focusing on pure ruchnias, pure spirituality. Torah, mitzvos, tefillah, chesed. We built ghettos, we built small Jewish communities, and the focus of life was spirituality. It was Torah and mitzvos in a very, very narrow sense. Ein l'kadosh baruch hu b'olamo, eladalat amo shahalacha. Hashem exists in the four cubits of halacha, and that's the description of the world post Korban Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara Bracha says. Yeah, Daniel.
There's an interesting thing going along these lines that he brings up in his introduction to Ored Al Nochama, where he talks about the vision of a tzaddik, and how if you envision a tzaddik, you envision the almost European shtetl tzaddik who with his talus over his head, just learning, and then he brings in the ideas of the characters of Tanakh, and speaks about this idea of going back to our original roots, and it also fits in nicely with this idea, like we spoke about at the beginning, like one of the first weeks, with this idea of the societal land that he wanted to build, and that it would be so different. And he also speaks like this idea of society catching up to us, and now we're able to like break through the walls and get to that point.
Exactly. Meaning, and what he's trying, what Daniel's pointing out, and what he's trying to do is that he's not trying to say what happened in Galus is wrong. It's insufficient. It's something we have to break from. If you look on, if you're following the Tachnit that the camp is writing for us, so Rav Kook was different than A.D. Gordon in that respect. Gordon was into Shtudat Gula. What happened in Galus was bad. We have to move away from that and start a completely new model. Rav Kook says, what does the Gemara say? The Bati Medrash and Bati Knesset of the Chutz La'aretz are going to be reestablished in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning all that Kedusha, which we gain by just focusing on pure Torah mitzvahs, pure spirituality during the years in Galus, is going to help us reintegrate into life in Eretz Yisrael, which is going to be able to expand that Kedusha from small points into the entire way of life. Yeah, but
is Rav Kook, does Rav Kook think halacha is important, and like does he minimize the importance of that?
He
and like maybe even and I guess two things. I guess one like keeping halacha and one like learning like halacha and gemara and stuff like that.
So in both longer discussions, he definitely thinks keeping halakha is important. He definitely thinks learning halakha is important, but he also definitely wanted to expand the curriculum to include other things. And he has these pieces which people like quoting, how he personally finds the learning of halakha to be chonik, it chokes him, it strangles him, it's too constricting, but he does it anyway because Hashem gave him talents in nigla.
That was brought in a previous year.
Oh yeah, so it's one of the things that people like quoting nowadays. So I guess I like quoting it also. I guess I'm one of those people.
Do you feel strangled by halakha?
Personally, I do not, but I find it interesting that Rav Kook, who was probably one of the primary poskim in Eretz Yisrael at the time, writes this in his diaries, that he sometimes feels that he only wants to do all day study Kabbalah, but he feels forced to study halakha because Hashem gave him talents in that also, and he has to serve Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael needs Morei Hara as well. It needs Rabbanim and poskim.
But do you think he knew that part was going to get published?
No, this is one of the things that was published in the 80s, like 50 years after he died. So Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is Kedusha Zatava. When we in Rav Kook, Kedusha Zatava splits into two, if I understand correctly, splits into two primary categories. Number one is just the land itself. Look at the second piece for a second. This is a piece from Shmonek Vatsim, also one of his diaries, which this one was published, I think, in his lifetime. It says, Havodah Elokit HaYotzer Elyona. You give Yoni a source sheet, please. Thank you. Havodah Elokit HaYotzer Elyona. What is the highest form of service of Hashem? He otashim kusherit yashara otava. It's service of Hashem that is connected directly to nature. Nitzkala kedusha elyonazu ayidei zuamata Adam, but this form of Vodas Hashem was decorated through the pollution of Adam. Which Adam is he referring to? Adam Arishon. He's gonna say, where did Hashem place Adam? Where was Adam before the Chet Eitz Hadas? He's in a garden. What was he doing? Read the Pesukim straight. He was in the garden, L'Avdal L'Shamra. He's walking around the garden, cultivating the land. And the Kabbalah teaches us what high spiritual level the Marishon was on before the Chait. Which means if you put together Pshuto Shel Mikra with what the Midrashim and Kabbalah teach us, the highest level of Avodas Hashem before the Chait Eitz Hadas is somebody walking around a garden full of trees. Let's read it aside. Sheshchita et Pukanas Hapa. When Adam sinned, that destroyed the nature as a form of worship. It made nature into an idolatrous monster. While nature in its pure form should be a great form of Avodas Hashem. Zihara ilad Adam Rishon, this higher level of Adam Rishon, he kolalas midav elyona zu ha'olam adamalam yisbakrayam irash shanavos Moshe Rabbeinu. Great, this is even higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. After we're by the underlying parts now, la'avdel l'shamah b'gan Eden, working and cultivating the land in Gan Eden, zeu ziv ha'chayim he'olyon. This is the shine of the upper life. La'achol me'etz ha'chayim, to eat from the tree of life. Lo l'das kal mishra, not to know any evil. Because it's impossible for in God's world, in the spiritual world or the physical world, to be anything bad. So Kook here is using the imagery of the two trees that are implanted in Gan Eden, the Eitz HaChayim and then the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. Before Adam sinned, before he took from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra and he became a Yodea Tov V'Ra, What should have happened was they should have partook of the Eitz HaChayim. Apparently, the Eitz HaChayim is some level which is higher, which is more primary than the knowledge of Tov V'Ra. The way Rav Kook interprets this, and this is not Rav Kook. This stems from second generation Chabad. That ultimately, and the highest levels of reality of the world, there is no Tov V'Ra. Everything is Chayim. Everything is just manifestation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We all live in a post-chet Eitz HaDaas reality where Adam and all people are Yodea Tov V'Ra. We see things as some things are good, some things are bad. We have to live in that reality because in our reality there are some things which are good and some things which are bad. But the highest level of reality is above Tov V'Ra, where everything is just Chaim, everything is a manifestation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in that mindset, you could just walk around the natural world and be as connected to Hashem, or even more connected to Hashem, than somebody who is doing Torah mitzvot in the post-Chet Eitz HaDaas world. And as our Kook saw, that we're slowly getting back towards the ultimate return to the pre-Chet Eitz HaDaas world, the importance of Teva in the physical world, physical natural world, becomes that much more important. That's why, and I know I experienced this. In America, before I went to Israel, before I went to my year in Israel post high school, I think I went on like 3 nature hikes my entire life. And when I was in Israel, I think like gosh, whatever yeshiva I was in took us on nature hikes on a regular basis. And during Ben Hazmanim, if you're hanging out with Israelis, that's all they do. Just everybody's going on Tehillim, everybody's walking around the country. So part of it is Kibbutz Ha'aretz. Like it's Eretz Israel, you want to get to know it, you want to walk around Eretz Israel. But part of it, if I understand correctly, is this mindset being trickled down into youth organizations. The reason why people are so into walking around the world, walking around the land, being connected to the land, seeing the beauty of the land, is this renewed appreciation of the physical land that Rav Kook is talking about over here from a very theoretical perspective.
There's a piece of Ritzi that explicitly says about it, that B'nai Akiva actually asked the Shaila about Sukkos going on to like where you wouldn't get a sukkah, and is like the mitzvah of walking in the land, like doche, the fact that you wouldn't have to sing the sukkah. So obviously he talks about like whole page rachim and stuff like that, but it's in one of the volumes of Ravin there, but he quotes the idea of like walking in Eretz Yisrael, not just as like the kinyan of Dalai the Amos thing. He talks about like that there's a metaphysical like exploration of God in Teva, and only in Eretz Yisrael.
So that's great. So thank you very much. I would love to see that afterwards. So, thank you. So that's one form, again, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is Kedushas Teva. One form of Teva is just the physical natural beauty of the land. But there's also a second form of Kedushas Teva, which is source number 3, or Rosh Hatzchiyah. Rav Kook says, I see with my eyes, whatever that means, Ur kaye Elio ola. The light of the life of Elio is rising. Kachol Elo kaf leikum etgalda. The power of Elio is revealing itself. Hakodesh shebeteva peretz gedarav. What is the power of Elio? Elio, who's the mivaser of the geula. It's the sanctity of teva, of nature, bursting forth from its boundaries. Holichu be'atzmo l'tachid emakodesh shalamala min ateva hagas emakodesh alachem ateva. The kedusha of ateva is going to reunite itself with the lower form of kedusha, which fights against nature. Nirav Kook explicitly says that there was a change in Jewish consciousness. It says lachamnu b'teva v'yatzano b'nitzacho. We fought against nature and we ended up victorious. Hateva hamagusham asa otanu levali mumin. Coarse nature which is not seen properly, made us into Bali Mumen. It made us into blemished people. Nagaba kaf yurekeno, it hit our thigh. Right? Using the imagery of Yaakov Avinu. Aval shemesh halu lanu zarkal v'fulatino mitzalatino. We're in source number 3. Thanks. But the sun, again, with using the imagery of Yaakov Avinu, shone for us to heal us. Hayadut shel ha'avar, Judaism of the past, mivitzrayim v'arena, from Egypt until now, milchama arukahi neged ateva. It's one long fight against nature. But bitzido ha'ka'or, and its ugly side, shel teva ha'noshia kali, of nature of people in general, afilon teva ha'uma v'tivosha kol yachid. Fight against your nature. Your nature is to do X. Bali Musar will tell you have to fight against it, you have to fix yourself, you have to recreate yourself. Nachamnu b'teva, kedei l'natzko. We fought against nature in order to conquer it. Kedei l'drato b'tok b'teo. In order to subjugate it inside its house. Hu nichna b'faneinu. Finally, we're conquering it. Cholamot tochem umit basmim. And the world is getting better, and now we don't have to fight against nature, we can start channeling nature and embracing nature. But here Rav Kook isn't talking about nature in terms of the physical world. He's talking about the nature of a nation and the nature of individual people.
How did he tell?
Because he says, the nature of a person. So here he's saying, it's clearly connected with the idea of reconnecting to the nature of Eretz Yisrael, the physical land. But here it's not the land, it's the nature of the individual person, people's natural orientations. That the message, the educational message shouldn't be break yourself, recreate yourself. The educational message should be what is your natural orientation? How do you channel that? How do you use that for how do you use that for Avodah Hashem? And so nature breaks down into two, the land itself and then the nature of each individual person. Rav Kook predicted. He half tried to instigate this revolution in education, going from just teaching people information, no matter who the person is, to a more student-centered learning, finding out what the nature of each individual student was, and trying to guide that student in the right path for
them.
How
did that manifest itself practically in educational institutions that have overseen or?
It manifested itself in two ways in Rav Kook's educational institution in America's Rav. Number one is that
Yeshiva Gedola,
Number one was that there was a very broad curriculum and people were able to spend. There was some sets of darim, but people were able to spend the different amounts of time learning different things based on what they were interested in. The second thing was that Rav Kook said that if I had a student in my yeshiva, his yeshiva was not connected to a college. He thought having Hebrew was important, having yeshiva was important, but he did not want them connected in his day. But he said, if I have a student who's been in my yeshiva who wants to go to college and he's serious about it and he feels like it's what he wants, it feels like it's what he wants to do, he'll give him moral and economic support if he's able to transfer from the yeshiva to the college. And the letter he wrote about this is in the sense of like each. Everybody has their own path of Avodas Hashem. Going to college is somebody's path in Avodas Hashem. In Merkaz Rav, it's still like this today. In Merkaz Rav, the people who are going to college are supposed to go to college super seriously. The people who are learning are supposed to learn super seriously. They learn for like 10 years. The people who are going to the army are supposed to do the army super seriously. So each person has their own tafkid and view Am Yisrael as a single unit. As opposed to like a place like Gush or YU, where everybody tries to accomplish everything. And then we all get frustrated and cynical after time. Anyway,
was it someone? Was there a cook or someone who disagreed with him that you mentioned in one of the earlier shiurim that you should specifically work, like, learn the things that you don't enjoy, like, because that's, like, where your weakness is, and, like, you should try to correct that.
Oh, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself in themes. So I'm sorry if I mentioned that, if I've spoken about this in the past. I think that's from the Chafetz Chaim, that you're supposed, if I recall correctly, you're supposed to learn dafka, the parts which you find boring, because Torah is divine, and you're supposed to break yourself to learn everything. Rav Kook is, yeah, he has essays. He has an essay called Onig V'Hasimcha, Pleasure and Joy. And it's all about how in terms of our physical nutrition, in terms of food, Hashem could have given us all like vitamin C, but he made a beautiful world with so many different types of foods. We could all get the same nutrients in different ways. Same thing is true with Torah. Hashem made a very, very vast Torah, so we can all get our spiritual nutrients in different ways. I mean, he clearly says the way you determine what your spiritual nutrients should be, or what your ikar spiritual nutrients should be, is based on netiyas nefesh, is based on personal orientation. So I just want to see two different ramifications of these two ideas. One in terms of physical nature. So today in the Tachnit, if you guys were doing it, it was about farming, basically. Farming, labor, Zionism, and the one individual, with a couple of quotes from Rav Kook. So Rav Kook was actually into these things, and for Rav Kook, it doesn't come from this like rebellion against the businessman, the Jewish moneylender, or the businessman who was a Jew, or the yeshiva guy who was a Jew. For Rav Kook, being into Jewish farming was just an outgrowth of finding kedusha in the land of Eretz Israel. If you look at the next source number three, Rav Kook says, "Gedola hi tzibyatena gufanet." Our physical claims are great. Guf bari anu tzrichem. We require a healthy body. In the past, we dealt a lot with soulness, with spirituality. Shachapnu et kedushat the guf. We've forgotten the fact that the guf is kadosh. So naknu et briyot v'gvura gufaniyot. We neglected the health and the might of the physical body. Shachapnu sheish lana basar kodesh. We forgot we have kodesh flesh, kodesh body. Lo pachod mima sheish lana ruach kodesh. No less than we have a kodesh spirit. Azavdo atachayim ma'asiyim. We abandoned a life of actions. We've abandoned physical life, natural life, because of a fallen fear. Why did we seclude ourselves for so long? Because we feared the kedusha of the land. He's quoting a Gemara in Shabbos, which goes through a pasuk and says each word in a pasuk refers to a different seder in the Shisha Sederi Mishnah. So the word in the pasuk, which describes Seder Zrayim, the laws of the agricultural laws of Eretz Israel, Trumas, Mayasos, and Shmita, is the word Emuna. Why? Because a farmer has to believe in Hashem when he plants that something is going to grow. Rav Kook is taking the word Emuna here in a slightly different sense. Not just that the farmer has to believe in Hashem for things to grow. That you require a higher level of emunah to believe that Zerayim should be a Seder of Mishnayos. That there is Kedusha in the land of Eretz Yisrael itself. When you're farming there, the things that grow in that land have inherent Kedusha, and therefore the laws of the Trumos and Maisos and Shemitah and all those things apply to it. And for Rav Kook, the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael and the revival of agriculture in Eretz Yisrael was just a manifestation of this idea of return to Kedusha Sateva. Kedusha Sateva, the physical land of Eretz Israel, most manifests itself in terms of farming, because the things that grow from the land itself have inherent Kedusha, as expressed in the halachos of Seder's rhyme. So again, this is different than A.D. Gordon, different than a lot of the labor Zionists, but you end up in a very similar place. That restarting farming settlements in Eretz Israel is an important part of the redemptive process. For Rav Kook, it has to do with the return to Kedusha Sateva. A second thing, not teva in terms of the physical land, but teva in terms of teva of the person, this is just one classic piece from Rav Kook. It's probably no major chiddush in this, but it's something Rav Kook pushed a lot. Musar Avicha is Rav Kook's Musar book. How to become a better ethical, moral person. So Rav Kook says, source number four, Yesod Tikkun Avuda, Hu L'Sadir Kol Dovar B'Kol Koach, Bein B'Nefesh Bein V'Olam, B'Yosher Al Machono. What is the foundation of fixing something? Tikkun ha'avodah, fixing your avodah Hashem, is to take every single koach that exists every world, every single force, every single power, and put it al mechono, put it in its proper place. and not to overturn things, and therefore to deny the influence of a certain kalach which you have. God made the man and the world straight. This is a quote, is a paraphrase of a pasuk in Kohelas. With all the kokos that are necessary for the full completion of the body and soul, in order to do what a person has to do. And the koko is not to say that if you don't give expression to one of your kokos, that's going to have a negative effect on your entire personality. It's the same way, if you don't move a muscle, that muscle is going to become weak and ultimately cause the entire body to lag behind. The same thing is true with our spiritual muscles, with our inner kokos. If you have a natia, not even spiritual kokos, if you have a natia towards music, if you're oriented towards music, if you don't give expression to that, that's going to hurt who you are as a person. You're not going to be able to find your specific mission or fulfill your specific mission in this world. Again, the ideas like this come from the other return to teva, not the return to the physical land, but the return to the teva of each person, and using that as a basis for avodas Hashem. Just to conclude, Rav Kook wrote a poem. Rav Kook was also a poet, in addition to posek and a baal machshava. So he wrote a poem which more or less expresses some of these ideas. So it's the last source over here. It rhymes. Not all of Cook's poems rhyme, but this one actually rhymes. I think so, at least. We'll see. It says, Tilchash li sod havayakula. Whisper to me a secret, existence. I mean, the author of the poem is asking existence to whisper a secret to him. Chaim li yesh kach na kach. Existence says to this person, I have life. Take it, please. If you have a heart and your heart is blood, that the poison of despair hasn't yet polluted it. So existence as a whole, the world, has life to it. It's whispering to this person, take me. But if your heart is closed, the existence whispers to me, my beauty doesn't enchant you, Sura many sura, stay away from me. Harini lacha asura, I'm forbidden to you. And if you're the type of person who just doesn't get excited when the birds are chirping, or there's natural beauty around, or you're reading a good book, or you're listening to a good symphony, those types of things don't move you. So you shouldn't be involved in those things. You should be sticking to the base matter, sticking to the shul, sticking to the chesed, sticking to tzedakah, and having a more narrow form of avodas Hashem. Then Rav Kook goes on to the opposite. Imkol tzitzuf adin, with every refined chirping, kol yofichai, and the beauty of all life, lo adar shirat kodesh, ach zerem eish zara b'chal yo'uru, doesn't inspire shirat kodesh, a song of holiness, but it inspires some type of foreign fire. Sura meni sura, harini lecha asura. Also, stay away from me, stay away from the world, I'm usher to you. Again, this is the opposite person. Not somebody who doesn't feel enchanted by the world, but somebody who just sort of runs into it blindly, doesn't have the proper perspective, and it leads him astray, it leads him in the improper direction. Meaning Rav Kook is noting that there are dangers in this approach. But Rav Kook predicts that there's going to be a generation which is able to navigate both of these extremes. The Doryor Kumbachai, there's going to be another generation that's going to live. Yashir Liofi Vachayim is going to sing for beauty and life. The Edna Belidai, and refinement, an unlimited refinement, Yinach Mital Shemayim, it will nurse from the dew of heaven. Miadar Carmel Vesharon, and from the splendor of Carmel and Sharon, different places in Eretz Israel. Shifat Rozeha Avaya Takshiv Ozen Amchai, the bounty of the secrets of existence, then the ear of the living nation will listen. And from the refined song and the beauty of life, or kodesh yimale, this person will be filled with a holy fire. And existence as a whole will whisper to this person, bichiri, my chosen one, hareni lecha mutaris, I mutter to you. Meaning, at some point, the world is going to advance. Am Yisrael is going to advance to a generation where teva, the world, havaya kula, whatever you want to call it, is able to be on the one level engaged, used, encountered, but be used for avodas Hashem, and that for Rav Kook is a major step in this messianic process. So again, for Rav Kook, religious Zionism wasn't only about creating a state. We didn't focus so much about the actual state, but political Zionism in this little series on Rav Kook. We focus on other aspects that Rav Kook saw with the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Israel, a return of certain ideas of Bayis Rishon, a return of this idea of Meloch Aretz Kavodo, seeing Hashem everywhere, a return to Teva of Eretz Yisrael, and also to Teva of each individual person. And this is supposed to be a slow process. It's supposed to continue ad Bias Kol Tzedek. And Emirat Hashem, hopefully the process should end soon, and Mashiach shall come. Thank you.